Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 68, O Thou My Soul, Bless God the Lord. 68. On you the Lord shines, and over you his glory will appear. Nations will journey to your light, and kings to your radiance. Let us pray. Almighty God, we offer praise and worship today to you, our God, the one who created the world, and in your mercy redeemed the world. All your creation speaks your praise, and points us to you, the Creator, God, and Father of us all. Who are we, Lord, that we should speak to you or approach you at all? We are your creatures, who have made ourselves faulty and imperfect, although in creating us you gave us a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and a will to serve you. Our knowledge is imperfect, Lord, our love inconstant, and our obedience incomplete. Day by day we miss opportunities of serving you and being effective witnesses for you. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, do not hold our sins against us, but in your tender mercy forgive. Lord God, through Jesus Christ you gave us a new commandment that we should love one another even as you love us, wandering and unworthy though we are. Help us to leave past ill will behind and to live so as to be a benefit and a help to others of your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn 122, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing. 122. We read God's word in the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, at verse 21. Isaiah, chapter 40, at verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 29. Oh. Mark, chapter 1, verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And the Lord blessed to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 478, Behold the Amazing Gift of Love, 478. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. How good are we at getting up very early in the morning? Mark tells us here that Jesus got up very early while it was still dark. He doesn't say what time of the year it was, so we don't know at what time of the morning it would still be dark. It is still dark when some of us get up in the morning just now, the depth of winter. And although we are past the winter solstice and the daylight is getting longer every day, it's still dark until about 8 o'clock. People have to get up early to go to work. I don't have an office or a school to go to now, but I do get up early most days. I go up to West Kilbride to get the daily papers, and I fetch papers also for two of our neighbours, so I feel duty-bound to get up and get on with it in the morning. We can readily see why Jesus got up very early. He wanted to go to a solitary place to pray. And in all the course of his public ministry, he very often had difficulty in finding a solitary place. People would soon get to know where he was. The word would spread around and they would come flocking to him once again. So very early in the morning was a time which would give Jesus a slightly better chance of remaining alone for a while it was still dark, before people were up and about. Why did he need to pray? Well, we're still at this point in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, and already Mark has told us about a whole catalogue of things Jesus did on that one Sabbath day in Capernaum, teaching in the synagogue, astonishing the people there because of the note of authority in his voice, healing a man with an unclean spirit, restoring Peter's mother-in-law to health and strength, dealing with the crowds who brought sick people for him to heal. Throughout the whole day, Jesus had been spending himself for other people. If that was to be the keynote of his ministry, if he was to be constantly giving of himself, he must from time to time summon spiritual reinforcements to his aid. Jesus knew he could not live and do the work to which he was called without the aid of prayer. Why could he not have prayed in the house where he was staying? Why did he have to go outside and find a solitary place? We don't know who else was staying in the house. However many people there were and whoever they were, it's unlikely that each of them had a separate room with a lockable door. Jesus knew that his privacy was considerably at risk, even in the house of friends. And he evidently considered the time of prayer to be a necessary ingredient of his public ministry, keeping vital contact with God to receive from him the strength and the guidance and the inspiration for the task ahead of him every day. In his earthly life, Jesus needed prayer. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Savior of the world, needed prayer. So how can we say that we don't need prayer? We who are his followers, his disciples of the 21st century, surely our need of prayer, our need to keep in contact with the source of strength and wisdom and love which sustained Jesus all the way through, our need is at least as great in our day as was his in his earthly life. We have to think of what prayer is, what it's meant to be. People think of prayer as a means of asking for things. No doubt that sometimes comes into it. But first and foremost, prayer is opening ourselves to God so that he can speak to us, not just we speak to him. Prayer is the means by which God can show us the way he wants us to take for the living of each day as it comes. It's good, therefore, if we can begin our waking hours with prayer. But things interrupt. Things make demands on our time. We'll live the kind of life in which we're exposed to those demands all the time. But if this is so in our life, if it is difficult for us to get the kind of solitary moments which even Jesus found it difficult to get, we have to remember that God knows this. God knows what we're up against, the difficulties we have to meet and overcome in the living of our life. And God will help us to overcome any difficulties we may encounter there. When we do get time for prayer, we have to remember what prayer is meant to do for us. It's not meant to do our work for us. There is prayer and there is work. And we can't live our life properly and fully if one or the other is missing. Prayer won't do our work for us. It'll strengthen and inspire and help us with the work which has to be done. The work which Jesus had to do was a demanding task. He was just beginning the task at this point we were reading in Mark's Gospel, and he needed his time of prayer, his communion with God, in order to do it properly. As we have said, with work and prayer, that they should not be separated, they are both necessary to a fully rounded and effective life. So we find other pairs of things which Jesus did not separate. He didn't separate words and actions. Jesus did give people verbal encouragement, encouraging them to leave behind their sinful or unhelpful ways of life and enter a life which was pure and purposeful. But he not only encouraged people with words, he helped them in practical ways too. And that is an encouragement to us in our own day. That's an example for us to follow. Actions to help people, as well as words to encourage them. That is the Christian way. That's the way of the Master whom we profess to follow. There's a story somewhere about a student who set about to equip himself for his studies. The best available books, the most up-to-date equipment, even a special study chair with a book rest to make studying easier. Then he sat down in the special study chair and went to sleep. I think about that anecdote and I recall that I have a study chair which is very convenient and very comfortable. It's on wheels for easy movement. It revolves for easy access to shelves and desks and books. And I know it is possible to go to sleep in it. We need the Lord's help day by day in order to be faithful to his example. But that help is constantly available. It's available through prayer, but it's also able to come to us as we work, as we try to live a Christian life. The help of the Lord is there for us all the time. Jesus did not separate words from actions, nor did he separate soul from body. Some earnest Christians do. There have from time to time been Christians who spoke and wrote as if the human body were an evil thing, physical life just a phase to be got through, the soul being the only thing which mattered. But Jesus never took it that way. And he doesn't take it that way now. The task of the Christian is to join with the Lord in redeeming the whole being, body as well as soul. That's why all through the history of Christian missions, the missioners have not only taken Bibles to those they were ministering to, they've taken practical things as well, food, medicines, education materials, ministering to the body as well as to the soul. Following the Lord's example. Words and actions, soul and body. And Jesus did not separate earth and heaven. Again, sometimes professing Christians do separate the two. But from early on, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray and to say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," he continued to unite the two. Heaven is not some place far away. It is a condition which is near, reached by the right attitude with again the daily help of the Lord. God's help, so necessary if we're to live this human life aright. So we need those quiet moments. We need that withdrawal to be alone with God. Sometimes it's not easy to achieve that in our busy life with all its pressures and all its interruptions. But the Lord knows. He knows how it is with us. And if we're earnestly seeking to commune with him and live our life with him day by day, he will make it possible for us. And our life will not only be all the richer, but it will be a help and a blessing to others around us. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 603, For Your Gift of God the Spirit, 603. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as you give liberally and bountifully, teach us to give cheerfully of our substance for your cause and your kingdom. Bless our offerings and grant us to know the joy of those who give with their whole heart. Lord, whose hand has controlled the whole of life from its earliest beginnings, we thank you for the many ways in which you bless us day by day. We thank you for life itself, with all its interest and all its challenge, for food to sustain us, for home and work, for the fellowship of friends, and the opportunity to enjoy the beauty of your world and the innocent pleasures which life affords. We thank you, Lord, for the deeper things of life, the goodness and mercy which have followed us all our days, keeping us safe in danger, raising us up when we have fallen, strengthening us in times of testing, guiding us in moments of decision. We thank you that all your creatures are under your care. Above all, we thank you for the supreme gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all that he has done and continues to do for us, for the Holy Spirit, the giver of strength, for the church, which is our home, for the lives of those who have helped to show us the way, and for the hope of the life beyond. Lord, our Creator, who make the sun to rise upon the evil and the good, send your rain upon the just and unjust. We pray for the people of your world, that they may receive your grace, that the evil purposes may be turned to good, that selfishness may give place to unselfishness, that waywardness may give place to obedience. We pray for the church, Lord, the church in every land, especially in this land which we love. Bless and prosper the work of your servants who have gone forth in faith to sow the seed of your word. May they reap in joy, and may there always be sufficient laborers in your harvest field. Bless our Queen and those in authority and those who give themselves to the public service. Help us as a nation to honor you with our work and our community life. We pray for those who work in the service of their fellow men and women. Bless those who gather in the kindly fruits of the earth and the harvest of the seas, that they may remember you, their God, from whom every good gift comes. We pray for those who are ill, that they may know the touch of your healing hand. For those who are in any kind of trouble or difficulty, that they may have the faith and the perseverance to trust you for the way through. We thank you, Lord, that we are united with your servants of all ages in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that we may be true to his example and the good examples others have set us, that we in our turn may set a good example, and that we all may be gathered into your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn number 500, Lord of Creation. 500. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.